If you would, turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let us pray. Lord God, how great you are. And Lord, what an awesome opportunity that we have as a church family to come together today on this beautiful Lord's Day and give you honor and praise, to be with each other, to study your word, to sing praises to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. Lord, how great you are, how marvelous you are for such a great salvation you have extended towards us by your grace. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask that as we look in your precious word, Lord, that you'll guide us. May you speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, may the church be edified and the backslider return and the lost be saved because of your word. We understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So may you reign true this morning in the house. And it's in the name above all names that we pray as a New Testament blood-bought, blood-purchased church, and that's Jesus we pray in. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Lord willing, we're going through whole chapters in 2 Peter. Last Sunday, chapter 1. Today, chapter 2. And Lord willing, next Sunday, chapter 3. And it's a lot of scripture, but praise God, we have a Bible we get to hold and get to read, and you know, if it wasn't for Scripture, what would we even be here for anyway, right? So let's go through Scripture this morning of chapter 2. We're looking at false teachers. The whole chapter is devoted to beware of false teachers. Beware of their deceptions. But I want to remind you, when 2 Peter was written, there were no chapters and verses. It was a letter. So it's still in the context of the prophetic word, the inspired word of God, that did not come as any private interpretation, but it was delivered as God spoke through the holy men, the holy prophets. And it has been confirmed because the apostles themselves saw the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, which was Jesus Christ. So that's the context of chapter 2. And yet you and I need to beware of false teachers and false prophets. Why is that? Do we have all these warnings in God's word for you and I to beware? You know why? Because you and I are sheep. Did you know sheep can be easily led astray? We're called sheep. We're sheep of the fold. God calls us sheep. And sheep need to hear the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd's voice is never contrary to this right here, folks. If it's a shepherd talking to you, it'll never lead you away from this, God's word. Amen? So that's beware. But people seem to believe lies. Seems like sheep want to believe a lie rather than truth. It's like what it says in chapter 1. They want to follow fables instead of the confirmed word of God. So sheep, we need to be very careful and not be deceived by false teachers and false prophets. And there are certainly a lot of them today. It seems like we hear the word, we need to compromise and come together and everyone just get along and you believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, and we'll be very sincere and it'll help us all to become better and just let's compromise. But folks, we are warned about that. There are certain things that we cannot budge. If we compromise who Jesus and His Word is, let's leave right now, close those doors, and just believe what we want to believe. There are some truths that you and I cannot budge. We can't. We cannot compromise who Jesus is, and that you're saved by His grace. You are righteous because of His righteousness. Any other teaching than that, you have compromised the faith, and you have changed who Jesus is. There are some things we cannot budge. It's some things that we must be like the early Christians. I will not call Caesar my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And they died by the thousands because they wouldn't budge. Some things we can't budge. We have these warnings. And don't become in bondage by false teaching. False teaching will bring you into bondage. They'll chain you to where you can't be free in Christ Jesus, which makes you a new creation. Only Jesus can do that. So let's get in to the Scriptures. There are many false teachers today. I can name, let's name some names. Oprah Winfrey has a new religion. Oh no, I said Oprah Winfrey. We have a president that can call himself a Christian because this new Christianity is you can believe what you want to believe. And there's preachers on your television that you watch that does not preach the gospel of repenting from sin to be saved. And by the way, whether it's me standing in this pulpit or anybody else, you search the Scriptures and you make sure that whoever is standing here, whether it's me or somebody else, you make sure it lines up with Scripture. The Apostle Paul said, whether it's me or an angel above preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. So you make sure that it lines up with Scripture. Now that entails you to actually open this book up and read it yourself. Okay? Well, let's look in this whole chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And I kind of went, the outline that's on the screen is kind of the outline in my Bible. We're looking at, first of all, the destructive doctrines of the false teachers. And it says in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Folks, if it can't be said right here in this pulpit about the Scriptures and about Christ and about salvation, then you don't need to listen to it. Okay? Joseph Smith stuck his head down in a hole and said he was given inspired Scripture, and there's millions of people following that cult, Mormonism, today. Secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Folks, if you change grace, if you change what it means to be righteous and how to become righteous, if you change salvation, you must first deny Jesus. You must first change who Jesus is. He may be a good person. He may be somebody that if you follow His teachings, you'll become a good person. He may be just a good prophet. But folks, Scripture commands for you and I to believe that He is the Messiah, the Anointed One from God, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's who Jesus is. You must deny His holiness and His deity if you want to change what salvation is. So they even wind up denying the Lord who bought them. He buys us. He paid the sin debt by the blood on Mount Calvary for you and I. and He's bought us. And bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways. You see, there is the way. It's a narrow way. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. If you can be righteous other than through the blood of Jesus Christ, then you have blasphemed the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. And you say that Jesus, the Son of God, deity, died in vain. If you can be righteous apart from that, you have blasphemed God. By covetousness, you can't buy salvation. You can't. And the church is not something to prey upon. You know how many times I've been asked to do some kind of pyramid scheme, sell vitamins or Amway and all that, and use my position as a pastor to prey upon the sheep. I ain't going to do it. No. Don't ask me. By way of covetousness, they will exploit you, the church, with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, because, listen to this, the doom of false teachers. You will sow what you reap. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. You can read all about it in Genesis chapter 6. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Every time, see, he worked by faith, never rained on the earth. God said, build an ark. And every time he pounded on that gulf of wood and pounding those spikes into that great big ark that God showed him how to build, the echo of it said, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Repent. Live by faith. Judgment is coming. And he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. There are homosexual churches today. Today, there are homosexual publicly professing pastors. The whole staff, homosexual. Now I want to tell you, if you're a homosexual or lesbian or however way you want to say it, I love you. You need to repent, though, and turn to Christ. You cannot be justified in something that God calls an abomination. I love you. And I'm going to help you all I can, but don't touch me. I have some instant reflexes. I may hurt you if you touch me. But I may hug your neck, but I love you. And you need to change and turn to Christ. But see, America, our president, justifying such things. Our churches justifying sin. And I've heard it said, many evangelists have said this, and I believe it, that God's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if He allows America to continue. But see, He brought judgment unto them into ashes. Verse 6, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Verse 7, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows, verse 9, how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They're not afraid to speak evil of spiritual authority. They will always lead away from biblical doctrine and spiritual authority. Always. Whereas, verse 11, angels, not even the angels will do that, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. So we see the doom of them and their actions, and they are headed for a devil's hell unless they repent. The good news today is you can repent. You can turn to Christ. You can give up any false teaching, and because you're headed for a devil's hell at the judgment. By the way, there is a hell. I don't care what preacher may not even mention it and dodge all around the verses that mentions hell and don't even mention it. I don't care how many preachers may tell you there's not a hell, that it's a figment of your mind. The Bible says there's a hell. And hell will also be cast into the lake of fire. There is a judgment. There is a judgment. Look at the depravity of false teachers. Verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Don't understand spiritual things. They understand humanism and what man can do, but when it comes to be inspired and dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and letting Scripture be the authority in their lives, they're like a calf looking at a new gate. It goes over their head. Why? Because the light of the gospel is not in their heart. The darkest place, it says in chapter 1, that dark place that the morning star must shine upon is the darkness of the human heart. There's no good in you. None righteous. No good in man. The only good that can be in man is God can be in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you come up here with a false teaching and say man is inherently good. That ended in Genesis chapter 3. You need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. You need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. But you need that light of the gospel in your heart. So, don't understand, because that gospel's not in the heart. Verse 13, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. Eyes full of adultery, coveting things, the unlawful want of something. Trained in it. Trained in it. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Verse 15, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Again, we are studying through Revelation on Sunday nights. The Antichrist, the beast, the end days will be very, very religious. It is full of worship. They worship the beast. They worship the Antichrist. They worship his image. It is full of religious people worshiping. Full of religion. But folks, religion will not save you. Being a Southern Baptist will not save you. Being on the membership file, however way you got there, don't save you. Jesus saves you. Jesus saves you. Not religion. These false teachers, very religious. They can even speak about religion. They have, Paul wrote in Timothy, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. No power. And yet reserve the blackness of darkness forever. Judgment's coming. Verse 18. We still got 10 whole minutes for 12. Isn't that great? Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. In other words, they appear spiritual. They speak great swelling words. And yet it's a sham. A sham. It's deception. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So they promise freedom. These false teachers in this day, they were promising some private, secret interpretation of the Scriptures. Again, I want to refer you to chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It can't be said right here about Jesus and about God, then it don't need to be said any place, because it ain't true. It ain't true. And when you're being a witness of the majesty, Jesus Christ, how you be a witness and how you share Jesus, it ought to be able to be said right here also. Right here. Freedom by some private interpretation. Secondly, a freedom from moral restraints. Let's get serious just a moment here. I've been at the mass evangelistic events. Seen them all my life, really. And it seems that if we're not careful, we preach saved by grace and hallelujah, right? But there, the other side of that is Jesus makes you a new creation. You become a disciple. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works. We are to live godly, moral. With God's help, is any of us perfect? No. But we are yielding ourselves. The freedom we have is in Christ Jesus, free from sin and free to live godly, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But it seems today salvation is I don't mind emotion. You may see me someday with both hands up on my tiptoes on this front bench, okay? That's part of it, okay? I'm happy to be saved. But it seems like we're full of emotion, and hey, I'm saved by grace, and then we live like hell. There's no change. And it seems like there's a false gospel in the church that we want people to be saved and go through the baptismal waters and all that, and that's part of it, but yet they have no desire to change themselves. Because I tell you what, you don't need a preacher to beg you to come to worship and to beg you to come to Bible study if you have the Holy Spirit. You'd want to. You'd want to. But it seems like we have fire insurance, and that's all it is. It says if. There's a big, big, big word there with two letters. If. If. That's a big word, ain't it? It can mean a lot of things. I was talking to Brother Tom. Him and Miss Linda's had the flu. Brother Tom, you got the flu shot even, you told me. How many of you got the flu shot? Raise your hand. Okay? Most of you in here. You have been given a shot of vaccination to keep you from experiencing all-out flu. Now, you may get sick a little bit when you get it. And yet, it keeps you from getting the all-out, grab the commode, hug the commode flu. Okay? Vaccinated. Without the full gospel of repenting of sin and turning to Christ for salvation. And it's by His grace. But just a little half of that, just a little half, just a little fire insurance part of that, people are getting vaccinated against the real gospel message that Jesus changes your life. Your want-tos change. Everything about you changes. Not that you're a perfect person, but He's in you. He whoops up on you when you don't do right. The Holy Spirit says, stop that. You know better than that. He uses His Word to speak to you. That's the gospel. Eternal life starts now. You experience eternal life, and yet someday we'll have a new glorified body. But it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about you reaching heaven. That's icing on the cake. The gospel is the God of heaven comes here and indwells you. That's the gospel. Not that you attain heaven and somehow God lets you in because of a good person or bad person you are, but God of heaven comes to you. He changes you. But just a little vaccination of the truth messes people up. Tell them the whole truth. That they're dead in sin and trespasses. There's no good in them. They need a Savior. You can vaccinate people. Just a little bit of truth. It ruins them to keep them from getting the full love of God in their hearts. Listen to what it says. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Worst people to reach for Christ are those who've been vaccinated. Been vaccinated with some false, deceptive lie, and you believe it. you believe it. Fables. You believe a fable more than you believe that Jesus actually died for your sin. And for you to be saved, you must receive His sacrifice. Do you, brother, believe a fable, as it says in chapter 1? Vaccinated. Vaccinated. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Have just a little bit of righteousness in them to vaccinate them. Than having known it. In other words, to experience it, to believe it, to trust it, to own it. That word known is the experiential knowledge of a relationship. To turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit. And the sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's how sick it becomes. Sick minded. That vaccination just makes you sick. Maybe you've been vaccinated. It was a lie. Good news again. You can plead out to a loving, gracious God who died for you. Plead out to Him and trust Him and ask Jesus to wash your mind of the deceptions and let His light shine in your dark human heart. Plead out for His mercy. Because you need it. I need it. You need it. Seems like that chapter is just not written for those jumping from honky-tonk to honky-tonk, but it's written to people that are religious, doesn't it? By the way, it says, there are false prophets and teachers among you. Talking to religious people. God forbid that any of you teach a lie contrary to this. God forbid any of you do that. It's like the oath of office. Our president put it on the Bible, didn't he? I think it was the Bible. I hope it was. But you know what? You can put your hand on this and put it up here. Look at that. You can sleep with it on. You can baby it, love on it all you want to. But unless it's right here, it don't do you any good. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, may You reign true this morning. Seems like all I did, Lord, was read through 22 verses of Your precious Word and just spoke about it. But I claim Your promise, Your Word, will not return to You void. Amen.